I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. As we reflect on Remembrance Day about service and sacrifice, a mesmerizing book is Michael Winter's latest, Into the Blizzard, Walking the Fields of the Newfoundland Dead. It's a book that's part history, part travelogue, that brings the reader to the Newfoundland before and after the First World War, as well as overseas to Beaumont Hamel, where on the 1st of July, 1916, a great number of Newfoundlanders were killed during the Battle of the Somme. Mr. Winter, who joins me now, brings us to the past with his poignant and lyrical writing, while he writes beautifully and thoughtfully about what that past might mean for us today, the Newfoundland that might have been, and the identity that emerges from all of this. Michael Winter is the acclaimed author of novels that have been nominated for a number of prizes, including The Architects Are Here, The Big Why, and the Death of Donna Whelan. He divides his time between Toronto and Newfoundland, but joins me in Vancouver today. This book is published by Doubleday. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Michael Winter. Mr. Winter, good morning.
Good morning, Joe. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for joining us. I just read that in your bio that you live in Toronto and Newfoundland. Is that correct?
That's right. I grew up in Newfoundland, but then moved to Toronto like so many other people from Newfoundland.
And so, how much time do you spend on the Big Rock, as they say?
Well, we've got a summer house there, like an old house around the bay. So we're there through the summer. So I'm there for the 2 months of the summer, and then I get back, two or three times through the year just to make sure the house hasn't blown away.
And so, in terms of how you identify yourself, I mean, Newfoundland is still very much a part of who you are, isn't it?
Oh, that'll never go away. I mean, it's who I am. When you grow up with the people make you, like my neighbors, my friends, my family, all of that forms who I am. So while I live in Toronto and really enjoy Toronto, to be honest with you, I'm still, at heart, I have that Newfoundland perspective on things.
So as I told you before we started, I've only started the book, but I was quickly drawn in by your writing style. It moves back and forth between the present and the past quite well. And I'm wondering, was that where your own mind was while writing this, trying to understand all of this?
Yeah, I think it was important for me to sort of take the journey that the regiment took to Scotland, where they trained, and then to Gallipoli, where they first fought, and then to the Western Front. And so that chronology of events stays constant through the book. But within that, I reflect back on my own youth when I was their age, and the history of that they experienced. And so I intersperse this tour, a contemporary tour of mine, following their footsteps, with this background history. And that, to me, seemed like a book that, hadn't been written yet about the war. There are some excellent books that discuss, what happened in the war and what, Canada's involvement and Newfoundland's involvement. But mine, I wanted to get more to a personal experience of it. A lot of us are getting to a point where we're interested in our past or who our descendants are, and visiting places, like Beaumont Hamel. And while we can read the plaques and understand the landscape, it's good to understand what is happening to us as we experience that. And that's kind of what the book is trying to do.
So tell us about this regiment. Who were these boys, these men?
These were just your basic, fishermen. They had no military experience. There was no standing army in Newfoundland at the time, and they just sort of thought, well, the fall fishery is over. It'll be a few months before I have to go into the woods to cut wood. Why not join up and go overseas for a lark, for a bit of action? They were kind of excited to go over, and then, of course, they didn't see battle for almost a year. They were training in Scotland, and as one of them said, it was the most dreary experience of their lives. The route marches they took, the terrible weather. So it wasn't until the fall of 1915, a year later, that they were sent to Gallipoli and saw their first, the first horror of war, fighting the Turks and Germans there. So that was the beginning of realizing that it wasn't just going to be a seasonal activity, but that it was going to be a long, drawn-out event.
And so Beaumont Hamel was, I guess, was that the first Battle of the Somme?
Yes, that's right. That began July 1st, 1916, the first day of the Battle of the Somme, which saw the most British casualties ever in the history of the British Army on that one day, and the Newfoundlanders are right there in the mix on that first day and suffered the most casualties of any regiment in the Army on that day.
And how, what are the numbers in terms of how many were sent, how many were lost that day, sir?
Well, there was about 800 in the regiment who went over the top that morning, and 750 of them were casualties, with about a third of them deaths. So it was a tremendous blow to the regiment and to the nation back home. Initially, the reports that were in the newspapers were that the advance on that day was a great success, that the Germans were retreating, and then it just kind of came to light, a few days later, that when the hospitals were full of the wounded and they couldn't get the dead off the battlefield for another 3 months, that a tremendous loss had happened. And so that was the beginning of realizing that that this war was not just a heightened sporting event, but was in fact all about tragedy and death.
And so they're buried nearby there, is that right?
Yeah, early in the war, initially the idea was to repatriate the bodies, mm-hmm. when the war broke out, and then the British and the Germans too realized quite quickly that just the mass of men that was dying, it was impossible to bring back the dead. So they decided to bury them temporarily in France and Belgium, and after the war, the decision was made to bury them where they lay. If there was a lone soldier who died someplace, they would bring his body closer to his comrades, because they said a single grave looked lonely. So they avoided that. And this interesting phenomenon of not burying the ranked officers in a different place from the rank and file men, they were all buried together with the same type of grave, and that democratic sort of respect for all was a very interesting and new beginning, I guess, for how the British Empire was going to change after the war. And so they're all there. You go to these battlefields, you go anywhere in the northeast of France, and you'll just see these little, a dozen or so white tablets standing under a couple of trees, and if you go close to them, it'll be like a little war cemetery, and they're so intimate and dotted throughout the landscape. It's just pretty much like, visiting a whole series of graveyards all through the northeast of France.
And as a Newfoundlander, when you're there, does it feel like home at all?
Well, the interesting thing about Beaumont Hamel, which is the memorial park to the Newfoundland dead, it's when it was built in the 1920s, they left it exactly as it stood on the last day of the war, and so the trenches are all still there. And what they did was, after they buried the men in a little graveyard, they brought all of these Newfoundland trees from Newfoundland and planted them around the men, and to make them feel at home. It was a piece of Newfoundland soil now, and those trees are still there, and they're huge. So I sat underneath these trees with the graves and realized these trees, which are taller than any trees you'll see in Newfoundland, were sort of standing sentinel over the dead, and yet the trees are so old, and the names of the men and the ages that they died, they're all teenagers underneath these trees, and that tremendous contrast of old trees and young men and me there was so poignant a feeling, and anybody can experience that. Anybody can go there and have that same experience as me, and it's a tremendously moving experience to have, and connects you to the past in a very emotional way.
So Beaumont Hamel really, I mean, when we read history, it really means a lot to Newfoundlanders. I'd say Canadians, but I'm assuming Newfoundlanders are acutely affected. In writing this book, you obviously look at how it defined Newfoundland and Newfoundlanders.
Yeah, I mean, I think what I attempted to do was to say, dear reader, no matter what your background, what occurred to this regiment, to this particular regiment, is not that much different than what occurred to many, many regiments in the British Army, mm-hmm. including many of the Canadian battalions that went over. And I hope that exploring in an intimate way this one battalion, you can infer what occurred to all of the soldiers and the nurses, too, that volunteered through the First World War. So it was my sort of exploration of a thousandth of the British Army. There were 6,000 Newfoundland soldiers who went through the regiment during the war, and the British Army was roughly 6 million men. So that's 1,000th of the Army. And in that intimacy, I'm hoping some personal experience or personal reflection can occur, rather than sort of looking at the war, and, you know, in the vast numbers, which makes it much less harder to connect with in a, you know, a sort of a spiritual way.
What do you know now, Michael, about service and sacrifice that you understand better after writing all of this?
I think that what I understood, or what I've understand, you know, come from this, is that individuals are filled with a tremendous loyalty, and the military knows this, and they beat that out of people. They strip it away because they know that interferes with the vast machinery of war, and then they turn it against individuals, and they use it against them to somehow get them to sacrifice their own lives, often in very futile ways. And I think it's important to realize that transformation of courage, loyalty, into this kind of mechanized warfare is a tremendously awful thing, and that's something to remember, especially when, like, I think the military knows this. I think the people who run our armies know this, and so often you'll see them be reluctant to participate in war in ways that our more politicians, who are unwise in the ways of the conduct of war, are a bit more blind to. And so, in the end, I think we have to look at Ottawa, look at our politicians, and demand them to be involved in creative acts, creative endeavors to approach world problems. When there's a problem in the world that Canada has a part in, we have vast resources available to us in all avenues of ways of helping. In terms of aid, in terms of political help, in terms of economic clout. And dropping bombs on people is a really simplistic, knee-jerk reaction that should be avoided at all costs, because generally nothing good comes out of it.
So in terms of how our society reacts to war or remembers, you're in your 40s, I'm in my 30s. Are we doing enough, do you think, in our culture to recognize service? I mean, I'm trying to think now, the young people of today, people that are younger than us, will they remember what happened at Beaumont Hamel, say?
I think they will remember, but I'm just hoping that they remember for the right reasons. And I think the reasons are, I think it's so obvious that soldiers have been brave and courageous, and have, I mean, just to see that battlefield, and to see their advance in the face of German machine gun crossfire, it's absurd that they were thrown into that. And I think it's important to step back and look at the larger structures of how did they get into that place? How did these young people get involved in a massacre? And it's not enough just to honor them. We should honor them. We should never forget them. But we should also make, which is often very difficult to do, a larger look at the larger framework of how did we get in that place in the first place, and how do we prevent societies and nations from getting into those predicaments. That's the big work that we have to do now.
The other thing that I got a sense as I read your book was how few of us realize that war, not just the wars that our country is involved in now, but wars like that which you write about in this book, are so much a part of our everyday life. Maybe we're not as comfortable to accept that. I mean, is that your sense of it?
Well, I think it's important not to accept it. I think it's important to the normalcy of war has to be rejected. We have to come up with a superior response. We have to be see that avenues to peace are very complicated. But they don't have to be weak. They don't have to be somehow looked upon as not a strong response to conflict. I think we have such economic clout in Canada. We have such so many avenues to us with delivering aid to people that going off to some place with our CF-18s and dropping bombs on places is a really uncreative, reply to trouble in the world. And I'd like to see, politicians especially figuring out, new ways, new avenues of dealing with these things, just as we have figured out new ways of dealing with, domestic disputes with, two men having a duel at dawn, firing pistols at each other. We don't do that anymore. We figured out new ways, and I think as our society evolves, we have to look at war as some kind of distant relic of how we get along with each other.
I'm assuming you entered the process of writing this book with a lot of questions. Are you left with more questions about war and the dead, for the dead, perhaps?
I think I'm profoundly moved by the idea of the past and how it's underfoot all the time. And being ignorant of that is really missing out on the whole layer of life of what happened before in these places. But having said that, I think it's the opposite is true, too. Okay, Joe.
It's been a pleasure talking to you, Michael. I met you once at the Writers' Festival and enjoyed speaking to you. So this book is a beautiful book, just a terrific read, and one that I'm looking forward to finish. Congratulations on it, and good luck with it. The book is called Into the Blizzard, Walking the Fields of the Newfoundland Dead. It's published by Doubleday. It's author Michael Winter. Join me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.